Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned, because this could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, called The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and, yes, education, but we do it without any manipulation. That means, as I've said so many times, that we have no hidden agendas on this radio show because we're not trying to get you to join up. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to convince you to do something or to coerce you into doing something. This show is simply about accurate biblical information. We simply want to give you enough information that will help you to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you can do that, then you want to orient and adjust to that plan. You have the freedom and the privacy to do that. That's all this show is about, accurate information, not some kind of useless speculation in a political season where everyone has an agenda. We're simply here to tell you what the Bible says, and you can make your mind up about it. And I'm not here to try to convince you that the Bible is true or not true. That's not my job. My job is just simply to tell you what it says. Your job is to figure out whether or not you want to believe it, and you might want to weigh the fact that your very eternal future depends on that. And we talk sometimes on this radio show about AI called artificial intelligence. And a person that has artificial intelligence has intelligence made up of two things, A and I. A being arrogance and I being ignorance. And the arrogant person says there is no God. And it's always interesting when to meet someone like this. You could ask him, you could say, would you mind if I pray for you? And they may say, well, no, you can pray all you want to. There's no God. And then you can pray a little prayer like my friend did. My friend said, God, send a bolt of lightning from heaven and strike this guy right now. Fry his brains out. Zap him right here, God. It was amazing how quickly that man asked him to quit praying. Yes, you see, the arrogant person says there is no God, but unless you can prove that, and you cannot, because you would have to be God yourself to prove it, wouldn't you? I mean, you would have to go to the universe and stand on every asteroid, every star, every planet, every place in the complete universe at one time and say, okay, I'm here and there is no God, thus God doesn't exist. Because if you left out one place and God was there, you'd sure be in a jam. So what the atheist says in his artificial intelligence is, I do not believe that God exists, and that's the arrogance of the atheist, because it takes as much faith to be an atheist as it does to be a Christian. So it's always interesting when we talk on this radio show, we're not here to try to convince people whether God does exist or whether God does not exist. That's not my job. My job is to give you accurate information, 30 minutes of no-nonsense biblical information with no strings attached. And hopefully, if you've ever been frustrated with organized religion and the strings that are attached to that and the double talk that you hear, then maybe this show is the right show for you, because you're going to learn what the Word of God says by teaching mechanics to you, teaching the actual mechanics of Scripture, so that you will understand that God is detail-minded. God has a protocol plan. God has a right way and a wrong way that things could be done. He's very specific. And if we talk about that, not to put you into some sort of legislation or ball and chain, that's not the concept. But the concept is to give you enough information to show you the principles and the procedures that are in the Bible so that you can tap into all that God has for you, starting with the number one place, and that is believing that Jesus Christ is His anointed Son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That should not be a new revelation to you. He is indeed the anointed Son of God. He said He was, and God said that He was. And, of course, this has always been the age-old question. The Bible asked the question, what think you of Christ? And that is a legitimate question. But if you have believed that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God, that's what being saved is. It's not joining something. It's not being baptized. It's not giving up drinking forever. It's what the Bible says. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever does what? Believes in Him. It's very clear. It's clear all through the Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift from God and not of works, lest someone would brag about it. I mean, how much more clear could it be? And if you have made that decision and you have believed in Jesus Christ, then you have a spiritual life. And your spiritual life is where, as a Christian, you are designated to grow up spiritually and to become a mature Christian, just as you grow up physically and become a mature physical being. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. They never see the spiritual life in a light like this. They never understand that the spiritual life and the physical life are different, and that you can continue to live physically even though you might not be born again spiritually. And once you believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him and are indeed born again, then your spiritual life begins. Not on the outside, it's not obvious, no one can tell it, but it's on the inside, where God the Holy Spirit comes to reside and live in you and empower you if you do not quench Him and grieve Him by your own personal sin. And as He empowers you, He uses the Bible. This is the power source for the Christian. It is, number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and number two, the indwelling Word of God in your soul. And thus, if you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, and thus, if you learn the Word of God and use it in your life, you have a phenomenal life that the world cannot figure out. You have a new power system, a new power source. You have a place of enthusiasm and encouragement that the world doesn't know about. And it is, of course, the Christian life. So even though adversity is inevitable, stress is optional, because you have chosen now to believe in the plan of God, and you have chosen to submit everything that you face to the Supreme Court of Heaven. And so if you do face some injustice or some sort of trial, you can simply turn it over to God the Father and walk away from it, and not try to seek revenge, and not try to vindicate yourself, but simply know that God was in business before you got here, and God will be in business when you're gone. And thus, you don't have to sweat the details, do you? Just let the Lord handle it. And boy, you talk about taking the monkey off of your back and letting the Lord handle the circumstances. What a phenomenal way it is to live. Now, as I talk about the Bible, I want to go into the Bible and explain a few things to you today. And this may take a few weeks to do so. If you listen to this show often, and sometimes that's hard because in some radio stations, they change our times. Maybe we're on some stations at 9 o'clock for years, and then all of a sudden we're at 7:30. And if that's happened in your area, I apologize. It wasn't my choice. It just happened. And I hope that you'll stick with us. And if you've emailed me and did not get an answer, I hope you will email me again, because on occasion my computer will kick out stuff, and maybe it sees it as some sort of spam and doesn't let it come through. And I'm confident that that's happened on a couple of occasions. So if you emailed me or wrote to me and you didn't get an answer, would you please do that again? Because I answer all of my emails and I answer all the letters that come in. And of course, we never solicit any type of support or funds. So relax about that. So let's go to the Bible today. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to study a verse, a very interesting verse, because I want to get into an interesting topic. The topic that I want to study with you is the word evil, E-V-I-L, evil. And you've heard this word before, and sometimes you'll hear people refer to something as being very evil. And so I want to take a look at this and what the Bible talks about it and what the Bible says about it, because I think it's probably a very misunderstood word in biblical terminology. And let's try to clear it up on this radio show if we can. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, and cling," in parentheses, "to that which is good." Now, I read that out of the standard King James Version of the Bible, and I did not go into the Greek New Testament, but I'm going to give you now a corrected translation from the original manuscripts. And this is what it says, correctly translated. We call this an MET, a Modified Expanded Translation, of Romans chapter 12, verse 9. "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil." That's what's written there. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. And the word for love, you're familiar with that word. You've seen it before, although a lot of times people get confused about this. There are several words for love in the Greek New Testament. They will always translate into the English, L-O-V-E. But in the Greek, it may be agape, or it could be phileo, it could be stokeo, it could be eros, it could be one of several Greek words. And in this case, it is the Greek word agape. Let your agape. And this is a sort of a virtue love. This is a love that you develop with an appreciation for the plan of God as you come to understand who and what God is. This is what we call personal love motivation as problem-solving device, number 8 in the protocol plan of God. Remember, if you've listened to this show before, there are 10 problem-solving devices found in the Bible. And we spent quite a bit of time discussing all 10 of those. And if you haven't heard any of those and you don't know what they are, if you'll write to me, I'll send you the book, Christian Problem Solving. And all 10 of them are listed, and you can look at them, and we will review them from time to time, just as we're doing now. Personal love for God is a wonderful problem-solving device. I said number 8, but actually it's number 7. Number 8 is impersonal love for others. So impersonal love for others and personal love for God, that's a tandem problem-solving device. This is the virtue envelope that the believer can live in. When you have personal love for God, it motivates you to obey Him. That's what 1 John 5:3 says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And then if we have impersonal love for others, that's our functional virtue. And so God says that we're not ever to hold a grudge, we're not ever to seek revenge, we're to love our neighbors, we love ourselves. That's the function of virtue love. But the motivation comes from respect for God our Father. And as we understand that, this Bible says, let love be genuine. And the word genuine simply means without any hypocritical attitude, undisguised. Let it be revealed. Let it be real. Let your love be undisguised. Let it be unhypocritical. In other words, don't say one thing, oh, I love God, go to church and sing, oh, I love Jesus, and then go back out and do what you want to do and ignore God's mandates. Ignore the Bible. And this happens every Sunday. People go into church and they sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and they go right back out from church and live their life the way they want to. You see, Jesus said, if you love me, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is not something that he's going to ask you to do that's impossible to do. It's just that people say they love the Lord on Sundays, and then the rest of the week they forget about him. It's almost like they have a barrier, hands off God, my life this week, your life on Sunday. Okay, I'll let you have Sunday morning. Can you see people saying that? I'll let you have Sunday morning, but the rest of the time is me. And that's not the way the Christian life works. It's 24/7 for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as he grows in the plan of God and applies the principles and the procedures that are taught in the Bible. So that's what it means by letting your love be undisguised or genuine or unhypocritical. And then the Bible goes on to say that we are to abhor, and that's kind of an archaic word for a lot of people. It means to dislike or actually to hate. And this verb is a present active participle. And the present tense means now, that we are to currently abhor. The active voice means the believer produces the action of the verb. That's you and me. You and I are to actually have an attitude of hatred towards that which is evil. It's our dislike for evil. It should be just as intense as our like for personal love for God. In other words, your personal love for God, if it's at level 10, then your hatred for evil should be at level 10 as well. Both should be the same. That makes sense? It should. And so we are to abhor that which is evil. Now let's take a look at this word evil and explain it to you. The word for evil is an interesting Greek word, and I'll pronounce the word and spell it for you. It's pronounced phaneros. Phaneros. That is the Greek word for the English word evil. And here's how that word is spelled. P-O-N-E, and that's pronounced as an A, phaneros, N-E-R-O-S. That's a long E. So P-O-N, you could say A-Y-R-O-S, Phaneros, but it's actually a long E, Phaneros. And it is a system, not necessarily a deed. It's a system. Evil is a system. It is the genius of Satan. It's his genius system. I don't know if you've ever thought about evil as being actually a system. But you could actually say that all sin is evil, but not all evil is sin. If that doesn't confuse you, because evil is a system that people live under. It's a system that they get duped into following. And it's a system where a person tries to appease God by his own action and his own deeds. And we know that it is Satan's system. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:13, where Jesus prayed a prayer, and he said to the disciples, I want you to pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You've probably prayed that prayer before. And in verse 13 it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now you know the rest of that, don't you? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, now don't let me surprise you, but that part of that verse is not in the original language. The part that says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Actually, this verse in the Greek New Testament ends where it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There again is our word phaneros, evil. Evil is a system designed by Satan. And when I say that all sin is evil, but all evil is not sin, what I'm simply saying is that the system of Satan can appear as a good thing. Evil can appear as a good thing. It is evil. For example, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, do you remember the first thing they did when God came to visit them in the garden? They clothed themselves with fig leaves. Were the fig leaves sinful? No. But it was evil. It was an attempt to cover up the sin. See? So it's evil. So let's take a look at this. Let's talk about this. We are to abhor that which is evil, and we are to cleave to the good. We are to hang on to the good. And the word cleave means like glue, is to be joined together with that which is good, or agathos. So the correct verse says, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, and cleave to the good, agathos. And so we have a difference or a comparison between the word phaneros, which is the word for evil, and the word agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S, agathos. We have a comparison between phaneros and agathos. Agathos is the divine good produced by the plan of God. Phaneros is the evil produced by Satan. So let's take it another way. Phaneros is a system. Agathos is the results of following a system. The system of God is called grace, G-R-A-C-E. For example, for by grace are you saved through faith. God's system is called grace. Satan's system is called evil. He's called the evil one. And the genius of his system is it produces human good. The genius of God's system is that it produces divine good. There's a difference, a tremendous difference between human good and divine good. And the difference is seen in organized religion. In organized religion, the evil of religion would try to get you to go to heaven by being good. And in God's plan, the genius of grace says that you can go to heaven based on what Christ did on the cross for you, that he was judged in your place and paid the penalty for your sin. But evil wouldn't say that. Evil would say, well, yes, Christ died for you, but you must also be a good person or you can't go to heaven. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, he that believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believes not, the wrath of God abides on him already. Doesn't say anything about how good you are or not. And see, this is evil. This is how a lot of people get sucked into evil. And so the Bible is very clear about staying out of the system of Satan, the genius of Satan. Now, in order to recognize evil, the first thing you have to understand is Satan's policy of evil is exactly the opposite of God's policy in grace. Grace is never, and let me repeat this to you, grace is never a reward for good behavior. But evil is production-based blessing. Evil is production-based blessing. Evil is you going to heaven because you adhered to a system. It's you going to heaven because you didn't drink, you didn't smoke, you didn't yada, yada, yada. Or you joined up, or you got dunked, or you did something. See, that's evil. That's saying you're going to heaven based on something you did. That's not what grace says. Grace is not a reward for something you do. Grace is a gift. So in the concept of evil in organized religion, evil would say if you tithe, then you're a good Christian. And if you don't tithe, you're not a good Christian. However, in the New Testament, it would say give as God has prospered you. And you would learn that tithing was an Old Testament system of taxation. And that everyone in the nation tithed, even unbelievers, gave 10% of their income as a sort of income tax to perpetuate the temple. And so evil will teach you these things that are not true in the Bible. And so people that get involved in evil will kind of say, well, if you don't do what we approve of, then we will disapprove of you and we won't like you because you're bad. You don't do these things. And so we wind up into this system of production based on our good behavior. And that's not what grace is. And that's why evil is so vicious. Correctly translated, that verse says this, that love must be without hypocrisy, that we should abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. And you can find that in the New English translation of what's called the Net Bible. That's a correct translation. Love must be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, that's the system, the genius of Satan, and cling to what is good. And that's the grace policy of God. Principle number one, this is a very short verse, but a very powerful verse. And number two, virtue love, God's problem-solving devices. Problem-solving device number seven and number eight. Number seven, personal love for God. Number eight, impersonal love for others. Virtue love must be without hypocrisy. In other words, you can't fake your credentials here. If you love me, you will obey me. That's what Jesus said in 1 John 5:3. So you cannot fake your credentials and claim you love God and not obey him. Now, none of us are perfect and we'll all mess up. And that's why the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. And that verse works every time you use it. But for you to claim that you love God and you pay no attention to his word, you don't learn the principles, you pay no attention to the procedures found in the protocol plan of God, you simply use your relationship with God as a kind of an eight ball, pop out the genie, help me when I get in a jam, God, you're kidding yourself. You don't have a viable relation with God. Now, you may, in fact, be saved. You may be going to heaven because you have trusted the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But you have no viable relationship with your Father. You're not growing in grace. You're not maturing in your Christian life. You're spinning your wheels. You're stuck in a rut. And that's why everything is going weird in your life. You're faking it. You're faking your credentials. You're making a fake claim that you love Jesus, but you don't. Because you don't have time for Jesus in your life, do you? The third principle, the believer should stay away from evil. That's a simple principle found in this verse. A believer should stay away from evil. But here is what I'm about to tell you. How can you stay away from what you don't understand? And that's why I'm trying to take time on this radio show to explain it to you. How can you stay away from what you don't understand? It's very interesting to watch what happens on television, to listen what happens on the radio, to read it in the newspaper. And once you understand what evil is, once you come to understand Satan's policy, and you begin to understand that it's a reward based for good behavior, that's what evil is. It's a policy of reward based on good behavior. And once you start understanding that and seeing that, you see it in the world everywhere. Principle number four, Christians or the believers, that's you and I, we should come alongside to and cling to good. We should abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. The word cling or cleave means to fasten ourselves to it, to use some gorilla glue, super glue. I mean, glue yourself to what is good. That's what it means. Bond yourself to what is good so that good and you become one. So that leads us to a question of what is evil and what is good? What is evil and what is good? And so now we're going to try to define it for you. I've done some definition here, but let me break it down a little bit more for you. If you're interested, I hope I'm not putting you to sleep. Now, if you're driving and I'm putting you to sleep, you better just turn it off and pay attention. But if you're listening, hey, this is good stuff. What is evil? It is the policy of Satan. Evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world, and he is. He's the ruler of this world. Remember in Matthew 4 where he led Jesus into the wilderness to tempt him? And he said, look, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you all of these things. He couldn't offer it to Christ if it wasn't his to offer. He is the temporary ruler of this world. He's called the God of this world. So evil is his policy. It's his method of operation. It's, as the Latin says, his modus operandi. From the time of his fall in the angelic revolution to his current rulership of this fallen world. It is his system, his policy, his method of operation, a rewards-based system that he dupes people into following, thinking that they're actually having a relationship with God, just like he duped Eve in the garden into thinking that if she would eat that fruit, she could be just as smart as God. So he seduced her mentally and conceived in her mind that she could be as smart as God. And he can seduce anybody mentally. He gets people to believe in this all the time. And a lot of people think it cannot be true that I could not go to heaven because I've never done anything really bad. I'm a good person. I would not deserve to go to hell. Well, I wouldn't argue that, except I could just tell you that Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you reject Jesus Christ and you refuse to come to Jesus Christ, you leave God no alternative. Christ is the only way. And yet the doctrine of evil, the genius of Satan, will tell you that's not true. He's trying to seduce you mentally. He's trying to get you to buy into what he bought into, that God is unfair. That he is as smart as God, and he's capable of ruling. In his reward-based system, if you don't follow his agenda, then he obviously would crush you. So evil is a genius of Satan, but it is not the policy of God. And we need to understand it, and we need to stay out of it. That's why the next few radio shows, I'm going to devote the next few radio shows to explaining what evil is. And when I'm through with this, if you stick with me, you'll be able to spot it immediately. So until next week, this is Rick Hughes, and I would like to say thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.